Good morning. It's a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, the Supreme Court has rejected the Republicans' last gasp bid to reverse Pennsylvania's certification of President-elect Joe Biden's victory in the electoral battleground. The court, without comment Tuesday, refused to call into question the certification process in Pennsylvania. It was apparently one line.
David, we don't know what they were doing. And the Supreme Court is a very important part of American government. It's one third of the various institutions. You got the Congress, you've got your president, and the Supreme Court. We do know that it would be very important for us to understand why they are doing what they're doing and to come out with an unsigned piece of paper which rejects the latest Trump nonsense or the few Congress people who were putting this thing up. It's really a disservice to the American people. We really do have to understand. Well, you know, we know Alito and Clarence Thomas, so we'd like to know where they were in all of this. We'd like to know whether Amy Coney Barrett is a vote for or opposed to the President of the United States with his nonsense because he appointed her. And so this is gratifying that they made the right decision, which I don't think they had much choice about, to be honest with you, the way this thing is rolling along, because the credibility of that court would be zero if this stage of the game, they said, despite the American electorate, we're going to overturn the results and create what is basically a fascistic takeover. I've been having a debate with a couple of people about my calling this a coup. It is a coup, and many writers are saying it. You know, the idea that you would take an American election and overturn it and install yourself as the president of the United States is just nonsense, and it was terrifying. But with this court and with the picks that this president has made, one wonders and one worries.
Yeah, and the Republicans seem, at least most of them, to be waiting until the inauguration to decide who won.
Look, you know, here's a guy. He's a cult leader. A lot of people have a lot of faith in him. You know, I've been thinking about this a great deal, David. If you look at the appointments that the incoming president is making, Joe Biden, you see a lot of Hispanic faces, black faces, and others. This is precisely what this election was all about. I have said from the very beginning that there is a racist element to all of this, and I know that that is true. Now, look, when you take a look at the complexion of the people in that cabinet, you see what people have been worrying about. They're worrying about the fact that for the first time in a long time, we are about to have a country which is ruled by everyone. That's what a democracy is about. The numbers are there. The transference of not only presidential power, but of power in terms of elites who run this country is threatened. And that is what this is all about.
And amid this struggle, we have the pandemic. Again, getting worse and worse from the Hill this morning. First signs of Thanksgiving COVID-19 wave emerge. Cases are beginning to show up in data released by states across the country in a troubling prelude of what may become the deadliest month of the pandemic so far. We're also learning about the blunders that eroded the U.S. confidence in the early vaccine frontrunner. The New York Times reporting this morning, Alan, the Oxford AstraZeneca effort held great promise to help arrest the pandemic, but a series of miscues caused it to fall behind in the U.S. And we're in this weird period where President-elect Biden can't really take national control of this yet.
David, let me put it this way. I am scared to death. I really am. Look, personally, for my family and for everybody else, this thing is literally a California wildfire. The sparks are coming out. Other people are getting infected, to do the metaphor completely. And it is very, very scary. And we all have to take this extremely seriously. You know, David, I've been thinking a lot about Franklin Roosevelt and when he took over. And those people who know their history know that he was trying to instill confidence in the people. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That was his calling card. And that's what Joe Biden is doing. When he says, give me the first 100 days, that goes right back to Franklin Roosevelt and what he did. It's a brilliant move. And it is designed to instill confidence in a lot of people, including me. The one thing that I have never understood is how Trump could eschew this virus, not mention it, not wear a mask, not do what needs to be done. It is, in my mind, criminal. I've said it so many times, a kid walks in with a gun to a bodega and goes to jail for a long time. Here's a president who, because of his malfeasance, is responsible, in my mind, for hundreds of thousands of sick people and deaths.
Yeah, and really what we're talking about is science, Alan, and following the science. And the science shows us as well what's happening with the climate. And many scientists believe that the climate and some of these viruses, these pandemics, are linked. That when the permafrost melts, it can release hidden bacteria and diseases. The shift to a not-so-frozen north is well underway, scientists warn. Quote, there's no reason to think that in 30 years, much of anything will be as it is today, one of the editors of a new report on the Arctic climate said. You look at the melting that's going on now, and it in many cases seems like it'd be hard to turn it around.
David, you are so right. We have put our heads in the sand all along, and now it's showing. You know, a pandemic is one thing. Sooner or later, a lot of people are going to die, but we're going to get through it. Whereas the climate change thing is here, and it is on us. We have made this happen. The President of the United States said, I'm not concerned about that. He's basically a climate denier, that being Trump. The incoming president has indicated that this is a high priority to him and he's going to do something about it. But if we don't do anything about it, the world is doomed. And it is inexplicable that we don't do what we have to do. It causes too much inconvenience short-term to people as opposed to the long-term solutions which we know we have to follow.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok. We're all in this together, folks.
We are. And just a moment to thank you, David, for showing up, and to our wonderful board op, Heather, who every morning is sitting at the controls making all this magic happen. So thank you, David. Thank you, Heather.
And thank you, Alan. And hear, hear to Heather as well.